Welcome to the Indie Marketers Podcast. My name is Mike McFarlane. This is episode 13. I would say it's been a minute, but that was the name of the last episode. And I said that last episode, so I'm not going to say it again. But welcome. Thank you for tuning in this week. This week, we have a really special guest. I'm really excited about this. Caroline Ramsey. And many of you may not know who Caroline Ramsey is. I've had the opportunity to work alongside Caroline when it came to migrating from hashtag not going to disclose platform into another platform from a marketing automation standpoint. And we've stayed in touch since then and kind of built a little bit of a nerd relationship in terms of talking about marketing automation, marketing operations, all of that good stuff. And I was really interested in having Caroline come on the podcast today because she's someone that I look at in terms of understanding what does it take to get into marketing operations today. Caroline took a very different road than I think a lot of folks took, but had some opportunities along the way that she identified and jumped all over to make sure that she was in front of these opportunities that were given to her. And it was a really interesting conversation for me, considering that I'm kind of an old dog in this whole thing. And I started my career 17 years ago when marketing automation and digital marketing wasn't really a thing. And so for me, it's really intriguing to understand what is it like today to get into the email marketing / marketing operations / marketing automation space. So we had a really great conversation about that. Caroline's someone that I very much respect and I look up to in terms of someone who has really taken control of their career. It's really cool to see. And having someone like Caroline take time out of her busy day to come onto my podcast was really meaningful to me. So Caroline, thank you so much. I really, really, really appreciate it. We had a great conversation. I know folks are going to really enjoy this conversation as well. Let's maybe chat a little bit about the music that we're going to play this week. Caroline and I talked a little bit about music on the podcast, and I wanted to come up with something I think that was representative of us. We're both Canadians. Caroline's from the West Coast. I'm from the East Coast. Not really East Coast. I'm on Ontario, so like Central East Coast Canada. And so I thought, you know what? Something a little Canadian would be great. And one of my favorite Canadian artists of all time is a rapper, hip hop artist, just artist in general named Chaos. And he has been someone that I followed since the early 2000s. That's, I think, really when he had his kind of claws in the mainstream, and had an opportunity to see him when I used to be a bouncer at Humber College in Etobicoke, Ontario, Canada, when I was at school. He was one of the performers that we had come into the pub that I was bouncing at, and had a great time watching him perform. He's just an absolutely incredible artist. And I think as a Canadian to another Canadian, it's important for me that other folks who don't typically get to hear Canadian music, hear Canadian music. And I know a lot of folks that listen to this podcast are not Canadian. So exposing you to a little Canadianity, not necessarily a bad thing. And so looking at Spotify right now, I've got two songs from Chaos that I'm going to be bringing into this podcast, both from the same album called Joyful Rebellion that was released back in 2004. The song coming into the podcast is probably one of his most famous songs called Crab Bucket. Ooh, so good. So good. If you've ever go on YouTube, search for Chaos, Crab Bucket, watch the music video. That is life in Toronto on Queen Street West. And I lived on King Street West, just one intersection south of Queen Street West. And that song just makes me it makes me, for lack of a better term, homesick. It's so representative of the culture, the identity, the feeling that you got from being in that area. So Crab Bucket, whew, banger, had to use it to bring into the episode. Taking us out of today's episode is the song that immediately follows Crab Bucket on the album Joyful Rebellion, called B-Boy Stance. And this was, I think, the first single off this album. And this was one of the first songs. I'd heard some stuff from Chaos before. I think it was Superstar Part 3 is probably one of my favorite songs from Chaos. But B-Boy Stance is your classic hip-hop B-boy, for lack of a better term, music. And it's just so well done. It's got such a good rhythm. It's incredible. Listen to Chaos. K-OS. He is incredible. He's and not just an amazing Canadian musician, just an amazing musician and artist in general. So go back, have a listen to Chaos. I'm happy that I can introduce Chaos, not Chaos, but Chaos onto this podcast. We will jump into the episode now, and then we'll talk a little bit about what's been going on lately towards the end. So for right now, enjoy the conversation with Caroline Ramsey. Let's go. No fast lane, still on the highway, moving in and out, no doubt there's a bride. No time to get down, cause I'm moving up. No time to get down, cause I'm moving up. No time to get down, cause I'm moving up. Take off the grass in the bucket. No time to get down, cause I'm moving up. No time to get down, cause I'm moving up. This week I am joined by a former client, friend, colleague, whatever you want to call, Caroline Ramsey. How are you?
I am really good. I like those titles. I guess I'll go with Mops Homie for you. You're a Mops Homie.
I like that. I like that. We definitely have some synergies. I see a lot of my younger self in you as you're coming up the ranks in the marketing operations realm or the marketing operations world. But for those that don't know who Caroline is on the marketing operations team over at Thinkific. Got to get that right. We had the opportunity to work together last summer, last fall, doing some map migration work together, which was interesting and fun, but we did it. And now we get to be Mops nerds together for this Friday afternoon here. So Caroline, thanks again for so much for coming. Let's talk a little bit about how you got started, not necessarily in Mops, because you, I think, primarily started on the email marketing side of things.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So I got my early marketing days in email. Do you want the like full story, or do you want the cliff notes?
Absolutely.
Okay. Sure. So I do not have a business degree, don't have a marketing degree. I originally went to school for something very weird. I think there's like a handful of people that have this degree, but I got my degree, a bachelor's of science in applied plant biology, specifically focusing on molecular plant breeding. So very different world, right? And so what that is, just for the layman, is I was looking at different agricultural plants and trying to figure out like what traits they have, what do people value in them, and then how do we understand what's happening at like a DNA, RNA level to make things just more efficient. It's not like the crazy Monsanto stuff. It's still pretty innocuous. But it was like, that was a totally different world. And I had this realization towards the latter part of my degree, like, oh my God, I am going to be the worst scientist. And it's funny now, kind of a painful realization in that moment. And I was like, I need to figure out a different path for myself. And in that moment, it's like, I'm kind of flailing, just trying to grasp onto something. And at the time, I was part of a plant club in my university. I was part of like their president at the time. And we were getting seed donations from this like seed company. I promise this connects to marketing. Hold on. So I asked them, I was like, can I be your social media person? It's a small company. I knew them fairly well. And at first they said, well, we don't really have a position open. And a few weeks later, they actually got back to me and said, well, we've changed our minds. Why don't you come in for an interview? And that's where this whole thing kicked off.
Wow.
So I came in as their social media person. It was a really small marketing team of four people at the time. And one of the people, this person that's part of this team actually left. And so I just started taking on some of their responsibilities, one of them being email. And that's where I got a bit hooked because I was able to send something out and almost immediately see revenue generated. And I am just someone where I need to be able to measure what I am doing. I don't want to like walk in and just like hope that something works out.
It's true. I've numbers. Seen it firsthand.
Yeah, right. It's like, if there's no numbers here, don't talk to me.
Exactly.
So that's where I found like, this is my thing. From there, I was able to jump into an email specific role at a different company. It was an online grocery delivery company. Really started to understand the finer nuances of email. That's where I feel like I got the foundation of my training. And then from there, I was able to jump to where I'm currently at Thinkific. And at Thinkific, I was able to pivot from email into MOPS.
Interesting. So I was so curious about this only because when I look at your LinkedIn profile, I can see the agricultural side, and then it's like the immediate flip right into marketing. So I appreciate you sharing the background there. I come from an age where like digital marketing didn't exist. So like when I joined Eloqua in 2006, marketing automation was very nascent, very early, very, not a lot of people were doing that email marketing, but I find it so interesting now that you are able to kind of see the social side and then kind of pivot to the email side enough, obviously on full on MOP side, which we'll talk about. Was there any kind of like painful nuances outside of just like the realization in university that maybe you weren't or didn't really want to be a scientist, but was there like a shift in mindset, or what kind of helped you jump to that email side from social? Like, was it a specific, just, was it a need? Was it the idea of like email marketing just has more to it than I think I like more to it that I'm interested in? What were some of those things that you saw there?
So from a like a marketing landscape perspective, what I was really liking was being able to see just like all of this data about people. Most marketing jobs, like let's say like a social media job, maybe you're running some webinars, you get a handful of data, but in emails, like I get all of it. And I can see right. What's happening with our customers. I can see what's happening with people that haven't purchased yet. I felt like I got a really full picture. But then there's also the reality of what I think early career looks like in marketing, which is like, you're going to take what you can get because there's so few early marketing jobs out there. It's that classic catch 22 of like, they want people with the experience, but how do you get the experience? So I had just that little bit that was enabled me to actually make that jump into email.
That makes total sense. And I completely agree with that. I remember looking for like marketing coordinator jobs back when I was coming out of school, and to have 1 or 2 years experience just was like, you don't have that. And so to find those little kind of niches where it's just like, hey, I can do this. If I can do this for this company or have an opportunity to start here and do this, that obviously can help you jump into that next role or that role that you're ultimately kind of looking for, which I guess kind of leads me into wanting to talk a bit more about the MOP side of things now. What was it about marketing operations specifically that you saw that was like, you know what, this is the next natural evolution of Caroline Ramsey's career kind of moving forward?
Right. So I think there's two big pieces here. I think on one hand, I was starting to feel like, okay, I feel like I've kind of mastered a lot of email. I have a really good understanding of the landscape, how to optimize things, and just my own growth I was getting kind of bored, if I'm being honest. So there's that piece. And then there's the second piece. And this is Christy at Thinkific, current VP of marketing. She has so much experience in what great marketing operations looks like. So when she came in saying, hey guys, I want to migrate off of this old platform onto HubSpot, it's like, okay, this is interesting. And if my curiosity in one area is dying down, let's go and pursue something else. Let's figure out what this new thing could be.
Awesome. Yeah, that makes total sense. And I guess during that transition from a map that will remain nameless over to HubSpot, did you see things specifically that you didn't see in the old map in HubSpot where it's just like, yeah, you know what? This is kind of what I'm looking for. And maybe it was a functionality thing. Maybe it was reporting capabilities. Maybe it was more integrations. Was it all of that, that kind of just, again, kind of not piqued your interest, but you saw that it's like, this is again, kind of that next step for me.
Ooh, good question. So I would say at the top level, reporting was a huge thing. Myself and my colleague for a few years, we were kind of bashing our heads against the wall with like, why is it so hard to report in this platform? We were really lucky in that our leadership at the time, they really just trusted that like what we were doing was providing ROI, but we couldn't actually get the numbers for ourselves. And because I think MOPS people can be really data oriented, it's like without the data, it's like, oh, this is like, what am I even doing here? So HubSpot really provided that for us. The second thing that I want to touch on is actually going through a migration enabled us to pull in all of the people that touch Thinkific's data and say, hey, we're going to centralize this. We want your opinion. We want your help to build something really great. So that way we finally have a source of truth. I think a lot of companies, especially when they're early startup stage, their data is everywhere. And being able to finally get things in one spot has transformed how we go to market.
And I saw that firsthand. It was pretty incredible, actually. Just considering I don't want to say complexity, but the size of the data that we were working with in HubSpot seemed to make a lot of sense compared to this other platform that we were talking that we're again we're going to will remain nameless, and just knowing that what you do now versus what you did before, I don't know how you would have done it before compared to how you do it now. And this isn't me like saying like rah-rah HubSpot's the best. I'm just saying like HubSpot obviously came in, met all of these new needs that you guys had as an organization. And you hit on something else that was really important there too, in that any sort of migration, you start to bring all of the teams together. So you're going to have data teams, you're going to have content teams, you're going to have web teams, you're going to have your marketing team. All of a sudden you're all rallying around and coming together and understanding what is this new architecture going to mean for us and how can we use it? So coming at the gate, you guys already knew exactly what you needed to do because you had all the right stakeholders involved. Was that a hard process to get going at a company your size?
So when we went through the process, it was really the right time for us. We really had hit this ceiling of we cannot move any further. And when I reflect back to the early years, because I've been at Thinkific for a while now, what I was seeing was this constant battle over marketing data. It's like our ads team, they want to just have like a clean list of who is, for example, on our free plan. You could ask 5 people across marketing, they would provide you something completely different. So it really was the right time because we were all getting pretty frustrated. The history before HubSpot was no one really wanted to own this. And I don't think anyone internally really understood the value. It really took a big cultural change internally for us to finally understand this is what excellent could look like. This is where we need to move towards. Let's go for it.
Love it. Love it. This in all the years that I've been in the space and all the migrations that I've helped with, I think this one was honestly, and I don't say this just because I'm talking to you now, was one of the smoothest, most, not smoothest, it had hiccups, every migration does, but one of the smoothest, most coordinated migrations that I've seen. I mean, your team was phenomenal at managing everything and getting people to do the right thing at the right time. It was, again, like just bravo on a Herculean effort to do all that shift in a matter of months, which was pretty incredible. Jumping back to kind of your life in MOPS now, I think one of the things that I find really interesting about this space is that there's so much information available now. You've got marketingops.com, you've got LinkedIn, you've got creators on Thinkific, you've got all of these folks everywhere kind of talking about information. How do you stay up to date, or where do you typically go to get information about your role or what's changing in the industry?
Oh my gosh, great question. The realization that I've had over the past, I want to say 3 to 6 months, is just how fast things are changing. So where I like to go, of course, the Slack communities, I think that's a great place to just kind of keep your ear on the ground. You get to actually hear the day-to-day problems of what people are facing, rather than, I want to say, like a LinkedIn, where people are posting things because they have something to promote or an idea. People are going to Slack saying, I got this problem, I don't know what to do. Yep. Who has solved it? So that's the differentiation that I see. I think there's a few great LinkedIn people. I want to say, like, they're MOPS influencers at this sure. point. Yeah. Like, Sarah McNamara. I yep. hope I'm pronouncing her name right.
Yep.
She is great. I love hearing not just like the technical side, but she's also now got the people side down. And so that's been really interesting to watch unfold.
Yeah. I agree with you on Slack. I mean, when I was kind of out of the MOPS space for a few years doing some other stuff. And when I came back in, one of the first things I did was try to figure out, like, for lack of a better term, who are those MOPS influencers now? Because in my head I had, like, who were the folks that I kind of followed or learned from in the past, but it was like, what does MOPS look like now? And there's, I think for me, as kind of an old dog in this race, there's a lot that I have to learn. And a lot that I'm still learning every day. And I think that's one of the really fun things about MOPS is that it's changing. Like you said, it's changing all the time. There's a new app. There's a new integration. There's a new AI tool. Like, AI is just going to turn everything on its head, which I want to talk to you about AI here in a second. But I think Slack and the marketing ops community, that communities, because there are multiple on Slack, you realize how many people are having the same problems as you, and no one seems to have an issue saying, I don't know how to do something, versus what you said on LinkedIn. No one goes on LinkedIn to say they don't know something. Everyone goes on LinkedIn to stand on their soapbox and say, I know everything. So that's been really, I think I agree with you there. And I think having conversations like this and seeing that there are so many more MOPS professionals out there now that want to share and learn from each other, it's awesome. I touched on AI. It's the hot trend. It's the hottest thing in the world right now. Have you used any AI tools as part of your day-to-day at Thinkific yet?
Ooh, great question. And you know what? I was listening to a former podcast episode where you were talking about AI. And I've got some thoughts here. Sure. So first thing, a lot of people, I think, are concerned about pushing PII into ChatGPT.
Sure.
Don't do that.
Never. Agreed.
Right. But I think AI is so nascent right now that people just don't have this muscle yet of, what should I put into ChatGPT? What should I not? And we're really just figuring out the rules of the road as we go. So that's my first big thing.
Yep.
But I have been using ChatGPT to help explain some, like, MOPS topics. So to give you an example, we rolled out lead scoring yep. across Thinkific to help just this handoff from marketing to sales. And I have been responsible for actually explaining what lead scoring is to all of marketing, a good amount of sales, for a good amount of people internally. This is the first time in their career where they've really had to interact with this system. Yep. So what I did was I went into ChatGPT and I was like, listen, I need you to explain to me what lead scoring is, like I am 10 years old. And maybe give me an analogy to yep. help people really understand this. And it gave me this beautiful analogy. We're circling back to farming and agriculture, but it gave me an analogy about apples, where it said something like, okay, you're a farmer, you're taking care of an apple orchard, and you need to decide which apples to pick first. So you're going to pick the ones that are like closest to like ripeness or the highest quality, get those first. If you have more time, go back, maybe get the lower quality ones. And it was the perfect analogy, because lead scoring can be super complex. Yeah. I needed something simple that would land with people.
That is such a great use case, honestly. And agree with you wholeheartedly on the AI side. I use ChatGPT for data augmentation, never with PII in it. It's usually IDs or numbers or text, like fix this string to look like this and like all of that sort of stuff. And so for me, it's been very operational, I guess. Mm-hmm. And especially as a solo person here, having a tool like that to help do some of these more manual tasks is really helpful. But yeah, the context, getting information out of it around like, how can I explain something like someone's 10 years old and getting those analogies and all of that. It's almost like it can help it hopefully release a little bit more creativity in terms of how we look at things and how we do things. Cause maybe it's not something I would never have thought of that analogy, but it's a perfect use case. It'll be interesting, I think, I know HubSpot's rolling out a whole bunch of AI stuff right now. That'll be really interesting. I have right. no idea what that's going to look like yet. I think there's some content stuff that they're doing, but like, I mean, it seems like they're going all in on it. And I'm assuming that all other players are going to start going all in on it at some point too. Do you think it changes the nature of some of our roles where it's like, where we're very hands-on right now? Is it going to be more about like, how do we prompt the tools to do the things that we want to do?
It's such a hot topic right now. I've always said, Mike, that I am not in the business of predicting the future. If I was, I wouldn't be here. Yeah. Who knows where this is going to go? But in terms of prompts, yeah, you should probably start figuring out how to become like a little prompt engineer to really extract the value out of these tools. Yeah. I think the people that are figuring that out are probably going to be a little bit further ahead in terms of efficiency and what they're producing versus someone who has zero interest.
Absolutely. On that same line, I use ChatGPT fairly regularly, and I'm not saying that as like, it doesn't solve all my problems. You still have to understand how to do stuff, but like, it's a very helpful tool for me. What are some other of your other favorite MarTech tools that you're using or want to start to use or that you're seeing really good things about?
Ooh, other MarTech tools. I mean, right now, looking at like G2 integrations, just like, what else can we integrate in terms of lead sources in the yep. HubSpot? That's something that's super interesting to me right now. Sometimes I think of myself as like a little MOPS baby. I'm probably not a MOPS baby. No, I think of myself as like a MOPS preteen. Like I know enough to sass you a little bit, but like not enough experience to like really be fully aware. So right now, actually in my career path, what I'm looking at is just like, how do I understand Salesforce products a little bit better? I've gotten HubSpot. I feel like it's, in my opinion, pretty user-friendly. How yep. do I start getting into the tools that just look like they were built in the 90s? How do I get into Salesforce? How do I get into Marketo?
Yep. Good call. And I love that you say that Marketo looks like it was from the 90s. Cause again, I'm going to date myself and reference an Eloqua thing. When I was at Eloqua and Marketo was just starting out and kind of nipping at our heels, their big thing was that their UI was much more user-friendly and better than what Eloqua was. That didn't force, but I think it kind of, actually go back and listen to, I think it was my second podcast episode with the founder of Steve Woods and the founder of Eloqua, Steve Woods, and the founder of Marketo, John Miller. I asked them that question of Eloqua 10, which is basically what you see now. Was that a result of Marketo? Marketo certainly helped push that. It's funny though, now looking at Marketo all these years later, it doesn't look any different than it did when it first came out. I know they're trying. There are some subtle changes here and there, but yeah, I find that kind of funny. Just that nowadays, like Marketo's kind of looked at like the old tool, and HubSpot's the cool new tool, but there are a lot of HubSpot fans, at least on my LinkedIn feed.
You know, I saw a chart a while ago in terms of like map market share, and HubSpot's really booming right now. Okay. But what I actually find really interesting, Mike, is probably just these, we probably have what, a decade plus 15 years between us in terms of career experience.
Yep.
You're saying like at the time, Marketo was supposed to be more user-friendly. But what I'm actually finding is I'm talking to people like our marketers internally, and they're telling me like, man, HubSpot, just like the UI, it's confusing. I don't really know what's going on. And it's like, really? Because in my opinion, HubSpot looks dead simple compared to some of the other things that are out there. So we might be seeing a shift in terms of marketers wanting greater simplicity, especially if they're not like a MOPS person. Maybe they're more of a like a different area. They just want to be able to come in, know exactly what's going on, maybe not take the trainings, and just get going quickly.
And I think at least I found, and I'm sure you'll find as you potentially get exposure to different tools in your career and stuff like that, especially on the map side of things. Once you understand the concepts in one, they all become pretty similar. It's the nuances of navigation and phrasing and wording, but you're always looking for the same thing. Where are my editors? Where's my reporting? Where's my automation? And where do I manage my integrations? Those are like the key things that I see. And the simpler that those things get, obviously, the more adoption you're going to drive. But I always thought HubSpot had a pretty clean way at getting at all that stuff. But interesting that you're getting the opposite on that. Very interesting.
Yeah. You know, so like a super clear example of this is with HubSpot, setting up a trigger, maybe based off of like a list membership. To me, it's dead simple. You know, it's like I go in, couple and or statements, working through some logic, it's done. I was going through like a trailhead on the Salesforce side of like, okay, how would I trigger like an email? And I was looking at this, just like, what is going on? There's a lot of steps here, more than the HubSpot world. So in terms of HubSpot taking market share, I could totally see a world. It's like, if people want simplicity, they're moving more towards that. And probably these other players need to catch up.
I think, agreed. Salesforce is, I don't want to say archaic. In some ways it is archaic because it actually hasn't changed a lot since I started using it again back in the mid 2000s. And the automation side of it is very, very powerful and very customizable, but you legit need to be like a Salesforce architect to do it. There are some, like I've built flows and things like that and process builders in Salesforce, and it's that stuff like pretty simple and straightforward. But when you want to start getting into like advanced data manipulation, all that, just like, it's tough. But Salesforce is still the big guy. They're still going to be the ones that are out there that everyone's going to use. But still, yeah, it'll be interesting. Just UI evolution will be very interesting over the next few years, I think, for sure.
Totally.
What advice would you give to folks who are looking to get into MOPS now?
Oh my gosh. I was thinking about this last night in preparation for this. let me tell you about one of my early career mistakes. So and this was through happenstance, just because, you know, I didn't really know enough about the landscape and what was going on. I ended up at companies where they didn't really value like having a map. They didn't really value their marketing data. And to make a really clear picture here, there was an early company, I'm not going to name them, where they had a database that was like built in the 90s that housed some like unsubscribed data, and that would get updated on a periodic basis. But then they were also operating MailChimp, despite being actually like a pretty decent sized company. And there's now two different sets of unsubscribes. I was literally spending my time before sending any kind of campaign email, like reconciling these two sources of unsubscribe data to make sure that I wasn't emailing somebody that I shouldn't. So my mistake there was just going to companies where they just didn't have a platform in place. If you are early career, please go pick a spot where they have a decent marketing automation platform and they have someone that knows what's going on. You are going to be in your early career learning from the people that are already there and learning how to operate within the system that exists. It's not until later on where you start to get to a level where you're looking externally and saying, okay, what's going on outside? How can I bring that inside? You're just trying to figure out what's going on in the company that you're at. So please go pick somewhere with a decent marketing automation platform already.
Yeah, I learned that a couple of, I'm not going to say a couple because then I could allude to something. I learned that at one job specifically where I did not ask that sort of question. A little bit different scenario, but ask about the tools that they have and ask about like, how are those tools maintained? Who's like, are they, how long do we have them for? Like getting an understanding of what that is going to look like, I think is a huge, huge benefit to someone coming in. Where do you want to know that you're coming in and like you could be dropping a platform and moving to something new? Like there's so many of those types of questions that I think are worth asking. What about from a resourcing perspective? Like, or no, sorry, not resource, or from a resource perspective, what places, I know we talked about LinkedIn, we talked about Slack. For folks who are just getting started, where would you go and educate yourself on a lot of the kind of MOPS terminology to MOPS ideas, things like that?
I mean, the game changer right now is ChatGPT. Yeah. What I'm actually doing right now is when I'm encountering a MOPS term or like a concept that I'm not super familiar with, I'm asking ChatGPT first. It is making things so much faster to be able to just find the information that you want rather than sifting through like a bunch of listicles on different blogs. Sorry for the people that manage those things. Where it's like sometimes they're not written by people that actually know what's going on. I'm finding that ChatGPT is actually a better source.
That's a great, great advice. Great advice there for sure. I honestly, I wish I had a lot of this when I was coming up because there's just so much more information on it. But I think, yeah, just there's, again, yeah, there's just so much out there now. So talk to people as well, I would say. Try to find folks on LinkedIn who have been there, who have potentially done that or are about to go through it. And you'll start to see that there are a lot of folks that are really interested in this space. And there's a lot of folks that are really passionate, I think, about this space too. And I've been fortunate to build a career off of it. And it's a fun space to be in. It's been a fun space and it will continue to be a very fun space as I think the technology evolves as well. It's the Indie Marketers Podcast. We got to talk about music. I hope.
Okay.
I'm going to surprise you on that front. I don't think I warned you on that front, but maybe from past episodes that you've picked up on that. Are you a big music fan?
Only in that I like a good top 40 or just like whatever Spotify is throwing at me. I think I had a good music phase in my earlier years. I think since like reaching my late 20s, it's like, okay, it's kind of winding down. Mike, let me tell you a story here though, just to kind of illustrate how out of the loop I can be. I got an invite recently to a friend's wedding. And I don't know if you are in the loop with like wedding technologies, but now a lot of invites, it's like you like fill out a form, kind of funny, crossover into this world. But it's like, okay, are you coming? Yes or no? Food restrictions, you fill it in. And then finally, there's a field on this invite that was like, what song is going to get you on the dance floor? Okay. And my brain just like blue screen. Like, what do I put here? And you know, my first instinct, just because I'm a little bit of a shit disturber at times, is like, well, put on the hamster dance, put on, put on the Baby Shark song, read me the Gettysburg Address. I don't know.
Who is more chaos?
I do. You know, it's funny. I was talking with a colleague yesterday of like, am I the type of person that just thrives on chaos? Is this a problem? Do I need to go to therapy? The answer was like, yeah, maybe you should unravel that a bit. But some people are just like this. They need a little bit of chaos. I think that this is now just part of my personality that I got to embrace at the right times.
I like it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like it. So I guess, are there certain songs that kind of stick out for you right now? Like if you're on Spotify, like maybe not songs or artists or bands, but are there certain genres that you like to gravitate towards?
Okay. So I'm going to throw a wild card out there. Yep. I am not a super religious person, but gospel music, it's lit.
It
oh
is.
Oh my God. Like if you get like a big choir of people that's just really into what they're doing, it's like regardless of the content, the music is, it's fun. It's hype. There is no, like if you're listening to, what's it called? Sunday Service Choir, some of their songs, it's like, you are going to be jamming out. Yep. It's great.
Yeah. I love a good gospel. I like literally when you see a gospel band like really performing, it's like, how could you not want to get up? Like, I'm not a dancer by any stretch, but how could you not want to get up and like dance around? And like, it's awesome. Like it's very powerful, very moving. And I love a good gospel performance. I would agree with that for sure. I've never thought about listening to gospel on Spotify though. So maybe I will have to go and give that a little bit of a listen. So Caroline, I mean, thank you again so much for joining this week. It's been awesome getting to know you. It's been awesome having an opportunity to work with you. I'm sure our paths will continue to cross in the future. I know you're quite active on LinkedIn these days. And I'm trying to be a little bit more active on LinkedIn these days as well. How can people find you? How can people reach out to you? If you want people to reach out to you, where can they find you?
Definitely LinkedIn. I love talking to people. I'm definitely a people person. Please reach out. I've also discovered that I am a big softie for people that are just starting off in this area. So if you are a student who is trying to figure out what post-grad life looks like, if you are in your first MOPS job and you have no clue what's going on, please come reach out. I love being a resource for people in their early career.
I love that. And that, I think, that's the energy that I like to see in our community. It's about helping others. I get that sometimes with other consultants where it's like, how could you talk to another consultant or potentially partner with another agency or things like that? There's so much for everyone out there. And I find the more that you give back to people, the more that you partner with people and kind of go along their journey, it's so much more rewarding for everybody. And we all get to continue to learn. I'll continue to learn from you. I love the stuff that you post on LinkedIn. It's helpful for me to kind of just like remember some of this stuff and like that, and seeing you, especially in your role, you're in it right now. It's helpful for me to understand like what are other MOPS professionals going through right now? Cause I'm not doing this obviously on the inside of a company, I'm doing it on the outside, but doing it alongside. That sounded very confusing, but you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, I get it.
But again, I really appreciate you joining this week. Thank you so much for the time. And I'm sure we'll continue to stay in touch.
Amazing. Thank you so much for having me on. This has been a blast. Awesome. And I'm looking forward to us chatting more.
Woo-hoo! Thanks, Caroline.
Thanks. Even the earth is moving from different places and out of space. But one thing remains the same. Yeah. Till the end of time, I think I'll remain. Yo. I think I'll just stay a B-boy. Standing in my B-boy stance, 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 a B-boy. I'm going to keep this short because I feel like I rambled a little bit at the onset. So thank you so much, Caroline Ramsey, for joining me this week. Caroline, I just,
I admire you so much, and I love watching your progression. I will continue to watch your progression because I think you're going to be one of the folks in this industry that does make a significant impact over time. So thank you. I really, really, really appreciate you making the time with me this week. Let's talk about the socials really quick. If you want to follow us on Instagram at 3mg.ca, we're doing a little bit more of the Macho Man this week. Yeah. And maybe a few more weeks. Yeah. So tune in to Instagram. That's where you're going to see the Macho Man, Mike McFarlane. Yeah. At 3mg.ca. You can find me on LinkedIn, Mike McFarlane. You can find Kimberly on LinkedIn at Kim McFarlane. You can find 3MG on LinkedIn at 3mg.ca. We are here to help. We're not here to tell you what to do. We're not here to say that this is the best way to do something. We're here to collaborate with you and share and find that perfect spot that you want when you're engaging with a third-party service provider. That's what we're here for. We're here to collaborate. We're here to cooperate. We're here to do some really cool shit together. So if you're interested in doing some cool shit together, 3mg.ca. That's as real as I can make it. Thanks for tuning in. Let's drop off with a little bit more crab bucket, not crab bucket, B-boy stance. Let's drop off with a little bit more B-boy stance because it's a fucking good song. I'm playing a role, so people remember that. I'm just a servant of rap, hoping to bring it back. A beat boy, standing in my B-boy stance. 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 A beat boy.